In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Boy, wasn't Paul's letter kind of fascinating today? So which one of you is baptized by Cephas? I'm of Team Cephas. I'm of Team Paul. I'm just kidding. We do run into that temptation in the church to say, well, I'm this, and I'm that. And ultimately, what Paul is telling us today in his epistle is that it's all about Jesus Christ. We're all called Christians, right? We're Christians. We're here because of Christ. And so as we're here today, we hear the gospel given to us. And I want to ask a question. What numbers did you hear today? 12? 5,000? 5,000? 5 and 2. I'm going to get a 2. Yeah. So when you're listening to the gospels, you really got to pay attention to the numbers. Numbers are very important in Scripture. They stand for things. And you'll see numbers repeated, like 40. You hear that a lot throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the number 12, and they all stand for things. The two big ones today, there were 5 loaves of bread and there were 2 fish, or fishes, as the gospel translation was. We know it's just fish. And these are very interesting numbers, but we'll talk about them a little bit more later on. First, let's take a look at what the disciples wanted to do when they realized they didn't have enough food. First thing they want to do is to send the multitude away. He's like, well, send them off into the villages, have them take care of themselves. We're not going to worry about them. We can't do this. Because they knew that they didn't have enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. It was beyond their ability to do. And yet Christ's response to them was so fascinating, wasn't it? And then whenever I read this passage, it like jumps out. The text like jumps out. He says, no, you take care of them. It's like, don't shove this off on someone else. You take care of them. You give them something to eat. And Christ knew the disciples did not have enough. They did not have enough in and of themselves to feed the multitude. And yet he gave them this command that was apparently impossible to them. Think about the situation. They've got these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And like, well, just send them away. He's like, no, you feed them. He's looking at it going like, what's going on here? How am I supposed to do this with what I have? It sounds like he's telling them. He gave them the impossible command and said, you feed them with what you don't have. You feed them with what you don't have. And as we think about these 5 loaves and 2 fish and what they represent, the 5 loaves, according to tradition of the church, represent the 5 books of the law, right? 5 books of the law. So what do the disciples have? They have the 5 books of the law. And then these 2 fish. And in the church tradition, those 2 fish represent all the prophets and the greatest of all the prophets, which is John the Baptist. And so they had the law and the prophets. What they had, the food represented here was the law and the prophets, and it wasn't enough to feed the people. It wasn't even enough. Believe it or not, if you have 5 loaves and 2 fish, you might be able to make it stretch between the 12 apostles and Christ. It's going to be a small meal for all of them. So it wasn't even enough for them, let alone the 5,000. But that's all they had. And Christ is telling them, you have to feed them with what you don't have, which is what I have. I have what the law and the prophets could never give these people. Christ had it. And so while the disciples had the law and the prophets, and they had this, it was substance, this wasn't enough. It couldn't feed them even, let alone the 5,000. And so what Christ was commanding them to do was to do what he did exactly. You notice what he did with the food. He lifted up, he lifted his eyes to heaven, and he asked God to bless it, to bless the thing that they did have, that it might be multiplied and become the thing that they don't have. So they can feed them with the thing they don't have, that they get it. He blessed the law and the prophets and filled it with himself. He gave the blessing to those things the disciples had, and suddenly they became enough. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ took what wasn't enough and made it so that it was more than enough. And you notice how many baskets were left full? 12. How many apostles? How many apostles are there? 12. How many tribes of Israel are there? 12. Right? And so it was very significant that they had 12 baskets that were overflowing, which means it was more than enough for them. So not only could the disciples or his apostles feed themselves, but they had more than enough in the gospel to feed the entire world. It was an endless supply. It's all pretty great to think about, isn't it? It's like, ooh, that's cool. But what does that mean to us here today in Phoenix, Oregon, on a Sunday morning in August? As we do a survey of the congregation right now, we're going to find people that have a lot of something, a lot of education, a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of talent, right? They can make beautiful things. They're talented in languages and writing and things like that. And you have other people that have a little. Maybe they have a little bit of money. They have a little bit of time. They have a little bit of strength. They have a little bit of courage. But no matter what it is that we have, no matter how much of whatever it is that you have, it's not enough. It's not enough. I don't care how many languages you know. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how long you've been Orthodox. I don't care how many prostrations you do, or how many Lord of Mercies you do, or how hard you fast, or how hard you don't fast, or whatever you do, it's not enough. It's never enough. And we should take this scripture seriously when it says that our righteous acts are like filthy rags before God, that no matter how good we think we are, no matter how much we struggle, it's never enough. We will always end up with five loaves and two fish. Always. We will always fall short of the glory of God. And I will tell you one thing, don't ever compare yourself to anyone else. Don't ever do it, except Jesus Christ. He is our model, he is our guide. And as you look around, you see people at work, you see people in your neighborhood, or God forbid, you look at people here in church and compare yourself to them, don't do it. Because no matter how pious that person seems, we are all sinners, we have all fallen short of the glory of God. None of us have enough. We don't have enough to even feed ourselves. So what do? It's pretty gloomy. I was like, well, Father Peter, I came here to be told that I don't have enough. It's hopeless and everything's falling apart and dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. Because the missing ingredient is that which we don't have. And God is asking us to offer to offer to the world and to offer to God that thing we don't have. To offer to him that which we don't have because we don't have enough, and that is to have Jesus Christ. My friends, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. I don't know if I shared this story with you all. I have a bad memory. But after seminary, my nephew asked me, he said, Uncle Peter, after 3 years of seminary and morning, evening, noon, being extremely exhausted, going to services all the time and studying the scriptures in Greek and Hebrew and all these other, what did you learn? And I said, it's all about Jesus Christ. Every waking moment is about Jesus Christ. He's the one that we need. He's the hope. He unifies us. He completes us. He makes us whole. He multiplies that which we don't have into things that are. So we do go, I'm not saying don't do your prostrations, your prayers. Do those things and fast and pray to the best of your ability, right? But it's not enough. But where that gap is, and you will never ever meet Christ until you realize you can't. You can't. It's not until we come to the end of ourselves, when we see the place where we can't go, we come and say, Lord, I cannot do this, but you can. Lord, I cannot forgive, but you can. Lord, I have no strength, but you are my strength. And that's a beautiful thing. I don't know about y'all, but like I like feeling strong. I like feeling capable. I like feeling like I know what I'm doing and everything's okay and I'm in charge and, you know, all that stupid stuff. But it's not until that moment where we allow ourselves to be weak. We allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We allow ourselves to be frail in front of Christ and say, I can't do it. How many mornings you get out of bed to go to church? You're like, I just can't do it. Lord Jesus Christ, help me to do it. And then now you're here. Poof. And so Christ comes to us today to multiply what we have, to make it enough. And not, this is the beautiful thing about Christ, about his work in our lives. Is he doesn't just give us enough for ourselves. He gives us baskets overflowing with his goodness. He gives us baskets overflowing with his strength and with his love. So that those around us, and I say it's you know, St. Cyril and Sirach, acquire the spirit of peace and thousands around you will be saved. Because grace is inherently on the move. It's always moving. It's always flowing. And as you become a vessel of grace before God, people around you are saved. You'll find grace in your neighborhood. You'll find grace at your work. You'll find grace in everything you do as you submit your life to Christ and allow him to be that which you aren't. to fill in where you are lacking, to multiply the loaves and fish that you have in your life. Let him be your strength. Let him be your grace. Let him be your peace. Let him be your rock upon which you build your entire life. It's a beautiful thing about Christ. He takes what little we have and he makes it more than enough. Our baskets run over and we have just so much to share. And I tell you, it starts with this: submit your life to Christ, every part of your life. Let him multiply the good that you have. And you all have good. We all start with five loaves and two fish, right? There's something in your life. There's a spark, but it's not enough. Submit it to Christ, lift it up to heaven, and let him bless it and multiply it and make it abundant, overflowing, infinite, eternal. I love that word, eternal, because we're such limited creatures. You always think about what's for dinner tonight. It's like, well, what about eternity? I'm going to think about eternity for a while and think about how God offers that to us in our weakness. So to go forth this week, you're going to be presented with a lot of opportunities to despair, a lot of opportunities to be disappointed in yourself, be disappointed in others. But what you have an opportunity to do is to submit it to Christ. The Lord is my strength, whom shall I fear? You know, right? I'll share this last little bit. It's like I go off on tangents. My wife warns me where she is. But right before the creed, you see the priest bowing before the gifts, and he kisses the chalice, and he said, I love thee, Lord, my strength, and my firm foundation, my refuge, and my deliverer. You say it three times. Because the Lord is our strength. When you're feeling weak, remember Christ is your strength. When you're feeling angry, remember Christ is your peace. When you're feeling sad, remember Christ is your joy. Remember when you're feeling anything other than the fruits of the Spirit, remember that Christ is the one that gives you those things. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about Gaius and Apollo and Paul and Cephas. It's about Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One God.